out.
Well, a lot of people think it was a 400 acid trip they took, you know.
Uh-huh, but what was it really, Bob?
One day I played CKUT in 90.3.
Then what happened?
I saw God.
You I've saw done God. That. Well, that sounds like true enlightenment to me,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, it was grim.
And on the seventh day, the Lord said,
let there be a CKUT.
Feeling off? Need to stimulate your imagination? From May 28th to June 6th, join the 15th edition of the Off-TA, a key festival for young creation in live art. By phone or online, dozens of shows, micro-performances, and live broadcast activities are offered to you from all over the city. Come celebrate and support bold artists who create in these uncertain times. Get your accessible or supporter passes now to access the entire program. To learn more about this edition, visit offta.com.
Vous vous sentez off et avez besoin de faire le plein d'imaginaire? Du 28 mai au 6 juin, prenez part à la 15e édition du Off-TA, festival incontournable de la jeune création en art vivant. Par téléphone ou sur le web, des spectacles, des micro-performances et des activités en direct vous sont offerts des quatre coins de la ville. Venez célébrer et soutenir des artistes qui osent créer en ces temps d'incertitude. Procurez-vous dès maintenant nos passes accessibles ou solidaires pour accéder à l'ensemble de la programmation. Pour en savoir plus sur cette édition à distance, consultez le offta.com.
Young at heart, for it's hard you will find to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh till your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth when you're young at heart? For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind when you're young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here's the best part, you'll have a head start if you are among the very young. Look at all you Here is the best part. You'll have a head start. If you're among the very young at heart. Ooh, if you are among the very young at heart.
This is CKUT 90.3 FM, and welcome to Older Women Live. Feminist radio heard this slot Wednesday, the second Wednesday of every month, from 6 until 7 in the evening. My name is Rosemary Wally, and I'm your host for tonight, although, of course, it's all pre-recorded at the house. As the nightmare of COVID-19 continues, we've decided this evening that what we're going to do is to dream. And our dream is to overthrow the patriarchal system, which jeopardizes everybody's future. First, you're going to hear from Brisna Kajero, who's a member of our collective, and she interviewed a friend of hers, Marie-Dominique. Then, Marlene Ratto, Laura Yaris, and myself mused on how we might get rid of the patriarchy, and you'll hear that conversation too. We also have some music for you. We've got Ronnie Gilbert and Holly Near singing The Activity Room. And we also have Holly Near singing The Mountain Song. Then we're going to finish with Lucy Blue Tremblay singing the song Getting Old. So we hope that you enjoy our show and we hope that you dream with us.
Some time ago, one of my friends, while we were talking about how much we miss getting together, she said, I can't wait to get back to normal times. I don't know about you, but in my opinion, the COVID-19 pandemic evidenced and deepened even more the large inequalities inherent in our current social, political, and economic system. Within countries, the spread of the virus and its impact has been different because of inequalities based on class, race, ethnicity, age, gender, and geographic location. Social protection and health systems have failed, especially in countries where health programs were already underfunded because of the tendency of reducing investment in health, education, and services. COVID-19 has enormously affected the most vulnerable sectors of society in Canada and countries around the world. Countries from the global south with fewer resources have been even more impacted by the virus, and these countries are aggravated more by their corrupt governments. Although global data indicate higher COVID-19 case fatality rates among men than women, women are especially hard hit because most frontline health workers are female and because they are victims of domestic violence forced to stay home with their abusers. Their workload increases because they are caregivers in families and communities. School closures affect low-income countries particularly hard. All the above are characteristics of a patriarchal capitalistic system. I invited several women, including myself, to take the opportunity to reflect on and exercise a right to think about how we would like the future to be. Most women I talk to prefer to give me their opinion in an informal manner instead of recording it because they did not have the time to do it. Some of them work from home and have children. They said that it is tough to work from home at the same time they must help their children with the online lessons. One of them said that she was lucky because her mother was a retired teacher and she is happily helping the children with the online learning. She mentioned that she was aware of how hard these times are for all, and especially for women. Another woman said that she takes care of her elderly mother, which gives her little free time. Amongst these answers I collected, women would like a future where we can, number one, freely be with extended family and friends without risks. Number two, have better job opportunities and be better paid. Three, have a health system well prepared for these kinds of crises. Four, get a higher minimum wage, at least $21 per hour. Five, have more support for women with younger children attending online education. Six, have more support for women that have to take care of family members who are sick or elderly. Seven, get more attention and action on violence against women. Eight, abolish patriarchy and militarism. Nine, make Canada stop building war supplies. 10. All treat our planet with care, where indigenous peoples are not displaced and their lands taken for exploitation of non-renewable resources. Mary Dominique Langlois, a PhD sociology and anthropology student at the University of Ottawa, and a social justice activist, was willing to share her vision of the future. Let us listen to it. And thank you very much, Merido.
Hi, my name is Marido, and I am a PhD student in sociology and anthropology and a social justice activist. I don't want to go back to before COVID. COVID crisis has highlighted and increased inequalities between countries and within our society. We have seen how the privileged are sticking to their interests without listening to the others. In Quebec, I've been shocked about racism in hospitals against Indigenous women and by police forces against BIPOC people. I've been shocked about the refusal to acknowledge systemic racism, trauma, and other ways to experience and create knowledge in our society, and especially in our universities. I've been shocked about violence and feminicide against women in the province, about market capture of our human right to housing. And I've been shocked also about how some people are being treated as resources and not as human beings, especially when it comes to temporary workers in farms in Quebec or in Canada, or how some essential workers are being treated. With COVID, our eyes have turned inward. Quarantined and confined, we have taken a deeper look at ourselves as a society and the demons that animate it. The tensions between justice and injustice, between the individual and the collective well-being. However, other countries have been suffering much more. Many have corrupted regimes that divert taxes and revenues to benefit only a few. People don't have access to social programs, including the vaccine, especially during the COVID crisis. And they have to learn to survive by themselves, as they always have done. But it is more difficult during the COVID social and health crisis. Their social networks are often their only safety nets for survival. In Guatemala, for example, elites and hidden powers have been dismantling the last structures that were defending justice in the country. COVID social crisis has provided the perfect context to increase corruption and impunity and to withdraw constitutional rights and liberties for the population. The Canadian mining corporations have been offered silently licenses to explore, exploit, and destroy local communities and indigenous territories. Impunity, dispossession, and poverty are increasing at full pace and in silence. I don't care if we get rid of COVID or not. I want a future filled with dignity, justice, and health and love for all, including Mother Earth. Like the Zapatistas say, I want a world where many worlds coexist and flourish, where people and communities unite against injustices and oppressions. When we share our privileges with the ones that are being left out, where we uplift everyone for the well-being of all and the environment. And not just here in our community, in our city, or in our province, but through solidarity with other peoples and their struggles as well in other countries. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to explore and share my vision. And muchos abrazos a Brisna.
Thank you, Merido, for sharing with our audience your vision of a better future for the well-being of all. I also have come across organizations that are advocating for building a more just and resilient world in the interest of all. They argue that women have been hit the hardest by this pandemic and are key for the recovery in communities, that women must be part of planning and decision-making about our future. The approach needs a feminist lens to create programs to achieve greater equality, opportunities, and social protection for girls and women and for all. In terms of the economy, those organizations suggest that the countries of the Global South should be given more time to pay their debts, and new loans should be given at a lower interest rates so that the economy of the low-income countries could be activated at a global level. The good news is that we all hope for a better future and know that we need to act together to make it happen. I agree with all visions for a better world for everyone. In other words, the problem is that the present economic model that dominates the world places profits before people and their well-being, sending migrants from the Global South to take up poorly paid precarious caregiving roles in the Global North, or working in agriculture as temporary workers, or any kind of work that is poorly paid. Migrants perform jobs for people in wealthier countries at the expense of their own caring responsibilities back home. Whether people migrate to the Global North or stay home, economically powerful countries benefit from the low-income countries. These benefits come from cheap labor or the exploitation of natural resources with so little given in return. With the Global North countries, powerful elites within the Global North countries, powerful elites benefit from the exploited minority and excluded groups. And it is the same also in every country in the South. In my opinion, the beneficiaries have the obligation to give more in return. Therefore, I hope for a future where there is no exclusion based on class, race, ethnicity, gender, age, or geographic location. I hope for a future without corruption. I hope to have a system that values the well-being of all, and everyone has access to universal healthcare, nutritious food, housing, education that promotes critical thinking and problem-solving skills, and well-paid jobs. I hope for a world with no exclusion of anyone. I dream of a world where love is valued more than money. Thank you.
Would you like to play bridge and have a nice cup of tea in the morning, Mrs. Abrams? We're starting out at 10, Mrs. Ilchis and Flora Hazleton. What we need is a fourth, cause Ida Yancey's not here. She's at her sister's in New Jersey. So Mrs. Abrams, will you play? What do you say? Well, I haven't played bridge since my husband died. It's been a while, Mrs. Riley. I can barely remember the rules. I'm really rusty and I know I'd feel like a fool. But since you ask, I could give it a go. Mrs. Iltis has a book, she'd lend it, I know. So Mrs. Riley, it's tea at 10, see you then. Would you like to play pool in the tournament? We could be partners, Mr. Gann. There's a game that starts at 2, Mr. Sheen and Ted Fine against me and you. Yes, you're my pick, you bank them in every time. We could both win a trophy. So Mr. Gaffney, will you play? What do you say? I like to catch a few winks, get a snooze at noon. I get so tired, Mrs. Rosen. There are times when I'm so stiff, I can barely keep a hold of the darn cue stick. But since you ask, it doesn't feel like rain. Last night I slept great with the pink pills for the pain. So Mrs. Rosen, I'll see you at 2. We'll take them on, me and you. You like to play horn in the orchestra? You'd be terrific, Mr. Lopez. We're tuning up at 3. Your friend Hal Hirsch will play the timpani. We're gonna play a little Gershwin and some J.S. Bach. Can you even believe we're gonna try a little pop and some rock? So, Mr. Lopez, will you play? What do you say? My lip is not in shape, my horn is worn and old. It's at my brother's, Mrs. Malcolm. My sight reading's awful slow. It's been years, I'd hold you back, I know. But since you ask, I could just stop by. I could sit in for a while if you need me. So Mrs. Malcolm, I'll see you at 3. The do-re. I'll even bring my brother with me to the do-re. And thanks for asking me to the do-re-me.
this mountain since first I was my mother's daughter, and you can't just take my dreams away. And now with me watching, you may drive a big machine, but I was born a great big woman, and you can't just take my dreams away. Without me fighting, I saw mountain and raised my many daughters. Some died young, some are still living. If you come here for the taking our mountain, well, we ain't come here to give it. I have dreamed on this mountain since first I was my mother's daughter, and you can't just take my dreams away. And now with me watching, no, you can't just take my dreams away. Without me fighting, no, you can't just take my dreams away.
Today we're going to be dreaming about a better future.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my dream is to get rid of the patriarchy, because the patriarchy is destroying the earth and destroying all the creatures on it, and it has to go. Now, people say you can't change the system, but I say the only thing we can't change are the stars in the sky. Everything else we can change. Well, the mountains, maybe the sea, but apart from the natural features, we can change it all.
The only trouble is we can't change it alone. So that's the part that's harder, because if we don't get people to join our cause, you know, there's people who don't want things to change, or there's people who are vested in the system as it is, or who want to make it even more patriarchal than it already is, like states, you know.
Maybe we should start by defining what we mean as a patriarchal system. I'm talking about a system. So we mean a system, at least I mean a system, controlled by males, by men.
That's right, yeah.
What about anybody else? You have a definition?
Well, I agree with that definition. I think that's, you know, it's a system where everything is controlled by men. From the most major thing to the most minor thing, we're always fighting against that, because it's
long time ago.
A long time ago.
Depuis longtemps.
Oui, depuis longtemps. Ça remonte des millénaires.
So we're talking about the patriarchy as a system. We're not talking about men. We're talking about patriarchy as a system.
System. Well, yeah, because, you know.
C'est un système dans lequel les hommes ont beaucoup de pouvoir. Mais ce système-là, les femmes le partagent aussi.
Il y a des femmes qui bénéficient du système. Il y a des femmes privilégiées qui bénéficient du système.
Mais les femmes y participent aussi, peut-être à leur insu, parce que ça existe depuis si longtemps. C'est rentré dans les mœurs, mais les femmes sont dans ce système-là aussi.
Yeah, that women are participating in that system too. It's kind of like a lot of women are complicit, you know, even without realizing it. I mean, some maybe are, you know. Mm-hmm. I said also that there's women who are privileged, who are benefiting in some way from the system, but it's true that it's so ingrained, ça fait tellement partie de nous, that we're complicit in it without even knowing it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it's so hard to change it, because we don't even realize it sometimes that we're participating in it.
But I think that we have to get beyond ourselves. And we have to think, first of all, there are something like almost 8 billion people in the world. So I think that our privileged little kind of existence in a rich country, we have to get beyond that. We have to think of larger issues like climate change and environmental degradation, and of course the horror of militarism. These are all expressions of the patriarchy.
Exactly. That's right. And you know, and all the manifestations of it. I mean, all the large corporations that have a vested interest in destroying the environment for profit, right? That's one aspect of it. And it has, as you can see now, I mean, it has dire consequences, you know, with the climate change and everything that's going on right now.
Donc, Rosemary, c'est ça, votre rêve, hein?
Said débarrasser du système patriarcal, is to get rid of the patriarchy. Because I think that to have any kind of future, not just people, but any creation, anything alive, including the earth, is in jeopardy. As long as we have this system of militarism and this system of seeing a tree as a resource rather than just as a tree.
Yeah, that's true, because the trees are so beneficial. I mean, not just that they're beautiful and they're comforting, but that they really benefit the planet by providing oxygen and absorbing things, and they're a living life form also. I've seen and read more than once now that trees can actually communicate with each other in some ways underground. At ce vieux Saint Marlène, as-tu lu ça que les arbres, tu sais, les racines, les arbres ont des systèmes de racines sous le souterrain et oui. Ils peuvent communiquer entre eux.
Oui, j'ai déjà lu ça. J'ai déjà lu ça qu'ils sont capables de communiquer.
Je trouve ça très intéressant, ça.
I think we also know that this patriarchy that we're living, that we've been living a very active way for here in North America from the time of the so-called discovery, which of course was not a discovery at all, form of patriarchy, which of course we knew before, those of us who are originally from Europe knew of that, that's thousands of years ago, but that met up with the indigenous population who do not have that as a basic notion. You know, where there's respect for life, which the patriarchy simply doesn't have.
Yeah, they have a different way of looking at society. Tu sais, les personnes autochtones, ils ont une façon tout autre de regarder le monde et de regarder leur société. A lot of them are more matriarchal than patriarchal. I mean, the patriarchy has tried to chip away at that. You know, and that's why you have things like band councils on reserves and stuff. But the traditional people, it was a matriarchal society, you know, so it was really different. The whole perspective was different. And just, you know, how they have more respect for the earth and so on. Like if they go hunting, they don't go hunting for pleasure. C'est quand ils font la chasse, ça fait partie de leur tradition, mais c'est pour se nourrir, et ils sont reconnaissants des animaux qui font leur nourriture. Et c'est comme une relation avec la terre. It's like they have a relationship with the earth, you know.
Native people.
You know. Mais le patriarcat est tellement fort qu'ils ont été quand même pas mal contaminés.
Well, that's true as well, but
aussi on trouve des situations où les femmes ne jouissent pas de plein droit.
Mais oui, c'est
toute la force du patriarcat.
I was thinking, Marlène, you know, you're from a very important country. You're from Haiti.
Yes.
The first country, of course, to free itself from the horror of slavery. Now, if there's ever a patriarchal system, it was slavery, you know, whereby white people stole non-white people and brought them across North America to wipe them out, to use their labor. Can you tell us a little bit about Haiti, which is such a beacon of light and always was? because they didn't buy into the patriarchal system, did they? You know, they had the revolution, well, I don't know, 1804 or something. They liberated themselves. But it was from the patriarchy that they liberated themselves, wasn't it? They didn't accept the values of the slave owner.
J'ai pas tout à fait bien compris, mais je pense que on s'est effectivement libéré de l'esclavage,
oui.
Mais on a aussi été imprégné par la colonisation.
OK, oui.
Si bien que je pense que les forces n'étant pas égales, je pense que la mentalité néocolonialiste a pris le pas sur ce besoin de liberté. Et que les gens qui se sont battus pour briser leurs chaînes ont mis des chaînes à d'autres qui avaient combattu avec eux. Bon. C'est un problème qu'on traîne jusqu'à aujourd'hui. Lequel problème qui n'a pas été aidé non plus parce qu'on nous a fait payer cher cette libération. On l'a payé très cher et on le paie encore aujourd'hui.
Yeah, she's saying it was a very high cost, this liberation, and they still kind of absorbed, you know, the patriarchal system to some extent, and you know, so they're still kind of, you know, paying for it today in a way, you know. I mean, it's true if you look at what's happening in the country today, right? For so many decades, si on regarde ce qui se passe en Haïti actuellement. Avec les gouvernements et tout ça, c'est vrai que c'est quand même quelque chose qui reste de la société colonisateur. Like it's still, oui. There's still leftovers of the colonization that, you know, that happened.
Deux héritages, un de l'Afrique et un autre du colonisateur. Ça fait tout à fait quelque chose de horrible.
Right. So, like, in other words, they have a heritage of the colonization and the heritage from Africa. So, you know, between the two, c'est comme il y a comme un conflit un peu,
oui.
avec ça. Mais si on peut penser un peu aux aînés en Haïti, est-ce que c'est différent de l'Amérique du Nord? Est-ce que les aînés sont plus respectés en Haïti qu'ici?
Bon, je pense que effectivement, les aînés vivant avec les plus jeunes, à cause des conditions socio-économiques, les aînés ont toujours eu beaucoup d'influence dans une famille. Parce que moi, quand j'étais enfant, ma grand-mère vivait avec nous.
Mm-hmm.
Et c'était une femme de pouvoir, hein, dans la famille. Elle avait son mot à dire sur l'éducation des enfants et tout ça. De sorte que, mais je pense qu'aujourd'hui, avec les entrées, les sorties, toute la facilité les facilités de communication, on en a perdu. On en a perdu. Et en Haïti, aujourd'hui, il y a des maisons de retraite où on retrouve des aînés rassemblés. Moi, quand j'étais jeune, ça n'existait pas.
Uh-huh.
Les personnes aînées finissaient dans la famille, mouraient même chez leurs enfants, chez leurs petits-enfants. Mais là, aujourd'hui, et même qu'il y a des aînés qui vivent ici et qui rentrent en Haïti et qui vont se placer dans les maisons pour aînés en Haïti.
En Haïti.
C'est aussi un commerce assez florissant.
Okay. Did you get that, Rosemary, what she was saying?
Yeah, I did, but maybe you could translate it, Laura.
You know, traditionally in Haiti, the elders were more respected and they lived with their families. The grandmother, say, would have a lot of influence within the family and even like things on raising the children or whatever. But nowadays, she's saying there's residences for elders like we have here, and it's a growing business. It's become a profit-seeking business like we have here, where there's a lot of private homes. You know, we have government homes here too, but there are a lot of private enterprise, and so it's like a profit-seeking type of venture.
patriarchy,
So you don't see as much anymore people living at home and so on. Rosemary, what? Maybe you can share about what you saw in Afghanistan when you were
there. Yes, you know, here we're talking about how we can change it and we can make it better for old people and we can have smaller residences maybe, but a residence is an institution. And I, for one, don't want to end up in that one. I mean, nobody does.
No.
But what was interesting was I was in Afghanistan in 2006 and I was there for 6 weeks and I was in a village. Now, in this village, there was no running water, just water from a well. And not everybody had a well. Only a few houses had wells. There was absolutely no such thing as electricity. There was general poverty. The food, there would be one plate of food, and maybe there would be, say, like five radishes, and a couple of spring onions, and people would get, you know, a little bit of rice or whatever. It was obvious that there was not enough food. So, and this was not the poorest household, but it would be average. There were a couple of animals that they had. They had milk from a goat and they had milk from a cow. But the thing was that, as Marlene was saying about old people traditionally, there were a couple of older people, and I was one of them. So the old people were considered like precious Grecian urns. The old people got the cup of milk, you know, the goat's milk, heated, warmed goat's milk. We sat at the warmest place in the room. We were given extra cushions. The old people were totally and absolutely revered. I've never been as adored in my life as I was there, you know. No such thing as, well, it's the same for everybody. It was not the same for everybody. It was according to your need. And the old people had to be kept alive because of their experience. So, for example, it's a country that has, yes, it has arranged marriage. Many countries do. But no marriage could be arranged without permission, without the authority, without the reflection of the oldest people. There were a couple of women that were very, very old in that house, and everything had to go by them. So I feel that they had, for all that they didn't have the material comforts that I have, they were totally adored. And that's what we all want to be, is loved. And that's what the patriarchy does not allow. Because the patriarchy demands that we all sort of toe a certain capitalist line, and that that's the best way. Of course, it's not. So that was my experience in Afghanistan. It was a real eye-opener to see. And you don't mind being poor if you have that love, because you're not poor then.
That's true. Tu as saisi ce qu'elle a dit, c'est quelque chose, hein?
Oui, j'ai compris que les personnes aînées en Afghanistan étaient bien traitées encore.
Très bien traitées.
Dans les petits villages, elle était dans un petit village et tout le monde était très pauvre et on avait une seule assiette, tout le monde partageait. Mais les aînés, chaque jour, on leur apportait
une
tasse de lait. Voilà. OK, so you got it. Tu l'as.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Mais dans la classe plus très pauvre aussi, on n'a pas le choix en Haïti. On vit ce partage-là. Parce que tout le monde est obligé de partager avec tout le monde, parce que tout le monde n'a rien. Alors le peu dont on dispose, les aînés ont aussi. L'ont aussi. Mais les aînés ont tendance aussi à se priver pour les plus jeunes.
Yeah, she's saying the older people, they often, they'll go without to, yeah. You know, because everybody's so poor and they'll go without in favor of like the children or whatever.
Well, I thought that was what was happening there. So I'm looking around for the babies, you know, for the little ones to have the milk. But no, it's not for the youngest ones there. It's for the oldest ones.
Yeah, it's a real difference, you know, when you think of how things are here now, you know, that if we can't work and pay taxes or you know, we're costing the system money, then, you know, we're not valued. you know.
That's the thing, isn't it, with the patriarchy. It's based on money.
That's right.
We're considered non-productive if we're 80 years old or something, we're not working. The fact that we worked all our lives and raised the kids and did everything, that somehow doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're all treated like commodities, yeah. You know, and that seems to be getting worse, not better.
Oui, parce que nous ne sommes plus utiles à leurs yeux.
Exactement. C'est, on n'est plus profitable. On génère pas de profit.
Yes, they can't make money out of us, really, because we're not buying products anymore. I mean, you know, we have all the couches.
On ne nous considère pas comme des gens pouvant rapporter quelque chose.
Exactement, c'est ça.
They don't think that we can bring anything to society.
That's right. You know, and yeah.
Mais c'est contre ça qu'il faut se battre aussi. C'est contre ça qu'il faut se battre.
They're trying to take away our right to speak, you know.
Yes, it's all part of the patriarchy.
Yeah, it really is, for sure, you know. I guess for me, my dream is maybe a little smaller. I mean, I share your dream. I wish that we could smash the patriarchy and start again, you know, with something more matriarchal. But I guess for me, it's more like, just to have a little community so that I don't end up, or that Beth and I don't end up in some institution, in some warehouse for the elderly. Say, moi, c'est ma rêve, c'est peut-être un focus plus étroit, c'est que ben, moi aussi, je partage, je voudrais qu'on puisse détruire le patriarcat, mais aussi juste pour qu'on puisse avoir une petite communauté. Que tout le monde se soigne l'une l'autre et qu'on a tous une valeur très, tu sais, qu'on a tous notre propre valeur et tout le monde se respecte. Alors, tu sais, pour ne pas devoir aller dans des institutions, moi j'appelle ça comme des entrepôts. Tu sais, on nous met dans des entrepôts. They warehouse us in these places, you know.
I think that if you look at the larger issue, that we have to, because we're trying to get rid of the patriarchy here. One of the main expressions of the patriarchy is militarism. There are 7,000 nuclear weapons in the world. Our country is just about to buy some fighter jets just to buy them, it's $18 billion. And then by the time you fix them and maintain them for, say 15 years, we are looking at about over $70 billion for fighter jets. Now, that's male. No, none of us want fighter jets. We want food. We want housing we want healthcare. We want simple transportation, and people want peace. And those are the things that they want. And those are not part of the patriarchy. And we have to somehow work hard. All the young people listening to this about to work hard to get rid of the patriarchy.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this is dreaming. We're dreaming.
Yes, we are.
You know, we're dreaming.
Well, we're dreaming. We're hoping that the next generation can make it a reality.
Yeah, we're hoping. I hope we'll be around to see some positive.
Pour avoir des utopies.
Yeah.
Pour avoir des utopies et peut-être qu'elles se réaliseront.
Ouais, c'est ça. Yeah, that's it. You know, it's like we're thinking utopian here. I do tend to think utopian. I have to admit, I'm a utopian at heart, even though on my other side, I'm also cynical. C'est moi, j'ai comme deux côtés. Je suis très utopique. Mais aussi, je suis très comme...
Réaliste.
Très réaliste et très comme douteuse. Je suis sceptique, you know, skeptic.
But, you know, when you think about it, you're saying that this is utopian and I'm saying it's not, because if you look at climate change, you know, we're not going to have... This could be the last generation that we see of people. Now, climate change is super serious. And sea level rise and all these issues are extremely serious, and they're all kind of like coming together, you know, and then there's this Cold War with China and that Cold War with Russia or whatever. Things are coming to some kind of a head. So when you say that you're utopian, Laura, I'm saying that you're being realistic.
Well, maybe I am. sometimes it's hard to tell which one I am.
I'm not a separation.
Skepticism says that it's not going to happen, you know, even though my utopian side says I wish to hell it would.
But it is happening. We're seeing terrible climate change.
Right, but I would like it to stop. I would like things to improve, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Seeing militarism. I mean, look at the children in Yemen, or look at the children.
I know, it's terrible.
Look at the children here in Montreal. A lot of them are hungry. You know, look at the poor single mothers struggling. Whatever.
In Haiti, too, a lot of une quantité phénoménale d'armes à feu se trouve en circulation en Haïti. Puis ils font des kidnappings, ils violent des femmes, ils tuent des enfants. Non!
Yeah, that's
patriarchy. Les armes, là, c'est la chose la plus terrible.
C'est dangereux d'être femme là-bas.
Oui, très dangereux.
It's dangerous to be to walk around in Haiti as a woman because women are getting raped and there's guns everywhere, firearms everywhere. Est-ce qu'il y a des lois en Haïti contre les armes à feu pour tout le monde, ou tout le monde a le droit de porter des armes à feu n'importe comment?
Il doit probablement avoir des lois, mais est-ce qu'elles sont respectées? Non.
Yeah, so there might be laws, but yeah, nobody's obeying them. Clearly.
Personne ne respecte rien.
Yeah, nobody's respecting anything. C'est vraiment encore comme du chaos là-bas.
Oui, c'est chaotique, effectivement.
Yeah, it's chaotic in Haiti.
Yeah, it's still chaotic. Parce que, tu sais, ça change toujours du gouvernement, mais ça change pas les
problèmes. On est dans un espace où ils veulent changer, mais on a un président qui n'a pas fait d'élection, qui a... Donc, les deux chambres sont devenues caduques et qui opèrent avec des décrets. Il est le seul maître à bord.
Marlène, as-tu un dernier rêve à partager?
Yes, do you have a last...
You got a dream that you...
Moi, j'ai un rêve qui n'est pas éloigné, mais c'est l'environnement. Moi, quand je regarde ce que nous devons léguer, aux plus jeunes, là, ça me fait mal. Parce qu'on voit, jour après jour, la détérioration de la planète. On voit les effets du bouleversement climatique. Mais il semble bien que ceux-là qui ont le pouvoir, que ce soit le pouvoir politique ou le pouvoir économique, pour prendre ce sujet-là et le traiter, ils font juste semblant.
Well, that's the patriarchy, Marlène. Maybe you could translate it, Laura, because it was a good point that Marlène made. Eh?
Well, that the environment, you know, what are we leaving to the future generation? You know, we're leaving these things. You know, it's very serious. You know, we want to leave something better for the next generation, something safer for the next generation.
Yeah. So there's the wreckage of the environment and climate change. I think the patriarchal idea is that somebody can go and steal something from the land. You know, there's nothing to say that that land, even if it's got copper on it, underneath it, that there's nobody has a right to mine it. You know, and of course, Canada isn't number one for the mining. And this is what's happening. We are wrecking the environment. We think we have the right. And of course, we don't.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, just take anything from anywhere without any consequence, without thinking about the consequence. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the consequences are quite harmful in most cases. Mm-hmm.
Unfold. thinks of you like no one can. As the seasons change, so to learn and understand. Changes of a lifetime. Never knowing where you go or where the end of
Je vais te laisser. Je dois recevoir mon vaccin Lac des Îles.
Ton vaccin Lac des Îles?
Ben ouais, tu sais comment j'ai hâte d'organiser mon barbecue au chalet avec toute la famille.
Pas bête, ça. Moi, je vais demander mon vaccin restaurant. Ça me manque les soirées improvisées avec les amis.
Hey, moi, j'y vais. Je pense pas qu'il fonctionne contre les retards, ce vaccin-là.
La vaccination nous rapproche de tous ces moments. Suivez la séquence de vaccination prévue dans votre région et prenez rendez-vous à québec.ca/vaccin-COVID. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Did you get vaccinated?
Not yet, but I will soon.
And which one are you getting?
I'm getting the dance vaccine.
The dance vaccine? Great idea.
Yeah, rehearsing with the girls is what I miss the most.
Well, it's going to be the soccer vaccine for me. I can't wait to see the gang again.
Each vaccination brings us closer to these moments. Follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
So, other than that, I mean, you know, what's going on? What do you say?
Buenas tardes.
And we'll be back.
Missed your favorite show? Not a problem. Go to www.ckut.ca and follow the link to CKUT's easy-to-use archives. Instructions are on the page. 2 months' worth of archives are stored in mono and half a month's worth in stereo.
Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal.
If you're having trouble, please email sys@ckut.ca. That's sys@ckut.ca.
Oh yeah!
I want to be your motivator.
Unite, Fatsalelile.
Oh.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Amanda, your weekly bilingual news show with the news and analysis from the continent of Africa. Hopefully stuff that you won't find much else anywhere else. And we're here at CQT 90.3 every week on a Wednesday evening. So here we go. Gwen, what's on the lineup today?
Well, really big and important news out of Burkina Faso a few weeks ago, and that is that the former president of Burkina Faso, Blaise Compaoré, who is widely believed to have played a direct hand in the assassination of the great African hero Thomas Sankara, has been charged with his murder, which, you know, a lot of people said would never, ever happen. Well, after more than two decades of wending through the courts and trying various international bodies and then local Burkina Bay legal entities and whatever, well, he, along with 13 others, have been charged. So I had an opportunity to talk to Ahmed Lowe of the Group for Research and Initiative for the Liberation of Africa, GRILA,